Welcome to the 10th episode of the Meet the Mancunian podcast, Social Impact Stories from Manchester, Season 4. I'm Deepa Thomas Sutcliffe, your friendly host. On the streets and nooks of Manchester, my inspiring Mancunian guests tackle their causes with grit and passion. They are leaders, worker bees, and community hosts, and they share their stories to inspire you all through this season. Relax, grab a brew, and listen in to the Meet the Mancunian podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or any of your favorite podcasting platforms. You can also check out all the episodes on my new website, www.meetthemancunian.co.uk. I wanted to take a moment to introduce the podcast's new expanded name. As I mentioned last week, it's now the Meet the Mancunian podcast, Social Impact Stories from Manchester. I've added social impact stories to make it easy for listeners to know what the podcast is about. And what some of my new listeners may not know is that Mancunians are people from Manchester, UK. And now back to episode 10 of season 4. Passionate about integration, we hear from Nidhi Sinha, trustee, We Stand Together in this episode. I'm delighted to introduce my guest, Nidhi Sinha, trustee, We Stand Together. Thank you so much, Nidhi, for joining me today. It's a Saturday afternoon. It's a lovely day. It's not too cold outside. Hope you have having a nice weekend.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to come onto your podcast.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing all about the so much good work that you're doing. But first, maybe tell us about your passion for integration. How did you get that? And what quite do you define integration as? Everyone's got a unique take, isn't it?
They have, yes. It's a very good question. I first started my journey, I would say, about 5 years ago, maybe six now, after my late father, and his death brought about quite an unstable foundation for me. And it's only then I realized the impact that we all have growing up of our parents, because my father was a community relations officer, and in his role as a little child growing up as a little girl here in Manchester, I was taken to all different communities, you know, handing bouquets of flowers to the Lord Mayor and going to the Chinese community, visiting the Jewish community. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just hanging around with my father. And I think that's what brings the unique style of what I do. Because as you know, within the Indian community, most parents are doctors, lawyers, accountants. There are very few community leaders. And so my father was, you know, a pinnacle of faith and bringing people together, especially the Indian community, to participate in integrating within Manchester. So when he passed away, it's crazy how, you know, your foundations shake at that time. And I felt that, you know, there was a need for a female Asian voice out there. And that's where my journey began. I'm now the coordinator of Sangha, which is a community-led organization helping to integrate the South Asian community into the different stratas of life within Manchester.
Yeah. So that must have been a very difficult time as well, I'm sure, losing your dad and then having to, you know, reevaluate your what you're going to do for the next many years. So, and you did, as you just introduced, your role with Sangha Manchester's, and then you're also working as a trustee for We Stand Together. So tell us about how you got involved with these organizations. What led you to that
moment?
That's
a great question, and I'm really glad you asked that, because it gives other people opportunities to also get involved within community life and become a community activist. I became heavily involved with Manchester and the different community projects, because there's a plethora of projects within Manchester. For example, there's a Challenging Hate Forum, which the Dean chairs at Manchester Cathedral. There's Faith Network for Manchester, the Manchester Climate Change Board, We Stand Together. I also volunteered myself as a chaplain at St. Peter's House for Manchester University students. So I just put myself out there, and I did a lot of voluntary work for about 3 years before I got a full-time job, and still continue to lead with passion in community aspects.
Thank you for sharing that in the end. It's always interesting, and it's also interesting that we're actually talking to each other in, at the end of Trustee Week this week, isn't it? Because I'm also a trustee with an animal charity, Tree of Life for Animals.
Wonderful. I've
been for the last 2 years, and they're actually Rajasthan based, but I'm on the UK board, so they're a lovely non-profit.
Well, I'd like to hear a bit more about that and how we can integrate that into, you know, some projects within Manchester. That would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to talk to you about that. So tell us about what We Stand Together do, and what, Sangha Manchester does.
Sure. So We Stand Together is an organization that allows all the different community groups to get together and work together in order to bring about change. Changing mindsets, challenging hate. We have many forums that go on throughout different years that, you know, we create, and lots of discussions, just difficult dialogue, actually. And I think our challenge is to bring people who wouldn't necessarily come to the table to get there. And that's the challenge that we face, because usually you see the usual suspects in a lot of these meetings, but we're rolling out to different schools and trying to get as many people involved as we can. Sangha was came to life, I'd say, about 4 or 5 years ago, as a small organization. And again, being Indian myself and Asian female, I noticed as I was growing up how insular the Indian community is. I can only talk about Indians because I'm Indian, how insular they were. And they still won't really integrate, I don't think. They're not interested because really we're so self-sufficient. And so there's no need for them to go out. And, you know, Sangha's main role, I would say, is to bring awareness to the community, awareness of things like modern slavery, awareness of homelessness, awareness of, Black Lives Matter, and, you know, all the different topics, female empowerment. We're very, very passionate about empowering women, especially Asian women, into the life of the city of Manchester. And I think that, you know, Indian, because we're so self-sufficient, there's no need to go out there. And that's how we kind of keep ourselves to ourselves. But if we are so self-sufficient, my challenge is to give. You know, we all talk about seva, and you know, it's in every scriptures, and one of our scriptures is to give and to be mindful of how you're living. And so it'd be good to give what you can, not necessarily monetarily, but you know, your time to the homeless, and to modern slavery, and to all these different projects that are, you know, that kind of helps Manchester grow and get stronger.
And I think there's a real need for also that diverse perspective, isn't there?
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, you've called out a couple of times about having a female Asian voice, or a female Indian Asian voice, if you want to add more and more descriptors. But You know, it's again, different perspectives make for a better product, better organization, better service to the community.
Absolutely. So, I think the more diversity we have, the better. And I can't reiterate how important it is as an Asian woman, because, you know, I think for me, coming from a Hindu faith, it's brought a lot of diversity to the community, and the work allows, you know, others who think they are open to, they have their own views, but until they work with someone who's Asian, an Asian woman, it's only then they are able to reassess what they actually believe. And when they get to know me, then they can maybe change what they think. So it does bring a minority perspective, definitely, to the group and to the community.
Thanks for sharing that. And there must be many challenges on this journey. You talked about, you know, one of the challenges being potentially the community itself being more self-sufficient and not outward looking. But are there other challenges that you think you're facing, and that you're, you know, if you can share with listeners how you're coping with them?
I'll be very honest, as I've not brought this up, but it's in, always in my mind. I'd say I can give you two challenges. One of the challenges I face is with my own senior uncles within the community, I would say. Instead of encouraging me and saying, you know, Nidhi, you're doing a great work out there, how can we help? What do you want from us? It's not at all like that. It's very much the opposite. Probably because I'm out there, I'm trying to change things, and they don't like it because they're not the ones in the forefront. I think the ego speaks a lot, and I'm not interested in ego or power. I just want to try and change things. But within our community, I see a lot of that. And there's a long way to go, because even though we have Asian women, especially the Indian women I know, are all very professional. They're all consultants, doctors. But how are they empowered? I still don't see that. There's a big difference between academic education and awareness, and being aware of who you are and the different problems within change the way your outlook completely. The other challenge that I faced, I can give you an example. When I was at St. Peter's House as a chaplain, we were all meeting up, all the faith leaders were meeting up for a discussion, and we were meeting in the foyer, and a rabbi came through to join our group, and he didn't even acknowledge me. He met everybody else and said hello. He's an Orthodox rabbi, and it felt so awkward. I felt upset and cross. But I think with resilience and being, you have to be resilient and thick-skinned. And actually, it wasn't only me who noticed that. My son happened to be there because he had inset day, and so I had to bring him along with me. And the head of the chaplaincy after said, Nidhi, I saw what happened. Are you okay? Do you want to discuss it? And I said, no, I think what I'd like to do is bring it up in the next meeting.
Very good.
So, you know, I didn't want to compromise my core values of equality and inclusion and justice. So I brought it up in the next meeting, and we had a full topic on how to welcome one another. Because often faith leaders don't know themselves how a Muslim would greet a Hindu, or how a Hindu would greet a Jewish person and a Christian. How do we greet each other? If we ourselves aren't able to do that, how do we expect the outer you know, the outer circle to communicate with one another. And they really appreciated that, and they took to it well. But initially it was very difficult because he blatantly ignored me because I was a woman.
Yeah. And I think this is the thing, right? Whenever difficult conversations, changing stereotypes and perceptions, or just ensuring a level playing field, it is sometimes hard for those who go before and, you know, have those torch bearers, let's call it. I've seen it in my own professional life, you know, when I started working. There was a lot of times when you were just thought of as very glamorous. And that's why it wasn't your hard work. It wasn't anything else. It was, you were being recognized. I was getting promoted every year. But all of this is supposed to be because I had a pretty face. And you'd be like, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Is that all you can see?
Yeah.
And, you know, having to work hard wasn't even counted. It was just like, oh, it's so easy for you. And this is the thing. You sometimes, I know times have changed a lot, and everywhere, you know, women are taking that center stage. But very often, you do get talked down to.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think you're doing absolutely the right thing. Everybody's got their own method of coping with it, but you need to. I would have probably reached out to him and said hello.
Yes, well,
that would have been my way to do it.
An opportunity to do that because, you know, as soon as he ignored me, kind of went.
Walked past, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, walked past, exactly. And also, I think, you know, there are different ways of greeting, so you're not allowed to touch or shake hands. So purposely there was no eye contact there. And so I don't mind having an eye contact, you know, that's good enough, eye contact and saying hello, but there was no eye contact at all. So that could have been quite awkward. But yeah, I think there's a lot of work still to be done out there, and it would be great to see more Asian women within community work, because there's just not enough. It's very, very male orientated. I'm also a member of the faith leaders at Bishop's Court with the bishop. And again, one of my passions is to try to get more female priests. That's a big passion of mine to try to change.
Yeah, there's always some really good stuff to be done, isn't there? And keep your passion going. We need more passionate people out there. I do have one guest that I will introduce you to. She runs Mirror Me Right. I don't know if you know her, Aisha Ansari Chowdhury.
No.
She runs an inclusive bookstore, online bookstore, and she works with schools to get into their curriculum.
In Manchester?
In Manchester, and was basically the concept is that her children couldn't find representative books that included people like themselves. And so she started this concept, and I think it's a lockdown project, if I remember right. And
yeah,
I interviewed her in one of the earlier seasons, and she was very passionate, lovely person. And
well, that's amazing.
You know, I'm happy to do a little introduction for you.
Yeah, would be great. I mean, that's similar to, you know, my ethos of, you know, trying to change mindsets. And during your work doing community projects, you don't realize how many people you touch along the way. And I didn't realize until my daughter, who's now in at university, and the amount of work she's doing now to change things, I feel very proud of her, because, you know, she's obviously seen the stuff that I'm doing over the years, and, you know, works very hard for inclusion and women's rights and climate change. So she's out there too. And occasionally I get women coming to me going, oh, that was really good, that was brilliant what you've just done. I'm like, really? You just don't think. And I said, well, as long as you can, you know, you can do the same, and I hope to see you there next time. So it's about encouraging one another and collaborating, making friendships. And I think that's slowly, slowly how you start changing mindsets.
That's true. And I think the bonds that women can build are very, very strong ones. So yes. It is really good. It brings us very well to a question I have, which is, what impact would you say you've made through your work? And you can take either We Stand Together or Sangha Manchester, whichever you like, and talk about it, please.
Well, I think that giving a voice as an Asian female, an Indian Asian female, has changed the views of people. I think that's important. I spoke earlier about how just being out there in the community allows others to reassess their views about Asian women. I work at the cathedral as well. So you can imagine having a brown face at the cathedral in different departments is not very common. And so I think it's very important just to be out there representing yourself and representing your community. That way, what happens is conversations take place, conversations you never thought would happen through becoming friends, through making friendships. And that's how mindsets and people change the way they feel, the way they do things. And hopefully that then becomes a ripple effect to others. Only the other day I spoke to somebody about how someone perceived me working at the cathedral. And it's bizarre, really, because, you know, here we have an Asian prime minister who is overtly a different religion running the country. So it's okay for him to do that, yet I'm being questioned as to why am I of a different religion, probably a different race, working in a cathedral that many probably still think it should be white. So, you know, you have to be bold and courageous and be resilient. And I think it's about, you know, carrying on the work you do. But we do need more Asian people out there in different communities and different organizations to be represented.
Thank you. How can interested people reach out to you and learn more? Where can they find you? Where can they find Sangha? And where can they find We Stand Together?
So we're on Twitter. So it's at Sangha, SanghaMCR, M from Manchester. So you can tweet us on that. I'm also on tweet myself at Nidhi Manchester, NIDHIMCR. You can often see a lot of the projects that we do on there. We Stand Together also have their own website, and we also have what we do within We Stand Together is the trustees have a rota to write articles once every month on topics that are passionate to them and link up to what We Stand Together are doing. And so you can read articles, online articles on the website and on the Manchester Evening News. So we feature monthly on the Manchester Evening News, which is really good because it gets out the community-led organisations. And I think really without these voluntary sector organisations, Manchester would not be what it is today. And we're just growing stronger and greater because of all the community-led organisations like ourselves. So there's lots of places you can find us.
Thank you for sharing them. And I'll be linking that in my show notes. Can I just check? I couldn't find a website for Sangha Manchester. Is there a website?
No, we don't have a website. No. Because
of, so just the Twitter feed is
we're just on Twitter at the moment. And as we grow and as we get more volunteers and people. So again, if anyone's interested to, you know, and passionate about trying to integrate the Asian community, please do reach out to me, and we can, you know, we can always find different projects. One of the biggest projects we did lately was an NHS project, trying to get the voices of Asian women within the maternity unit. And we wanted to understand the cultural differences so that their experience would be heard. But getting the women was so challenging. Even giving them money, after giving them money, it was hard. But we also work on a lot of mental health issues as well. And that was very powerful. So we do get people eventually coming through and then realizing how it benefited them.
I hope some of my listeners do come forward as volunteers. What advice would you have for people looking to start something similar in another part of the world or another part of the UK? They want to go into integration. Yeah, so how should they start?
Yeah, I think that a good place to start is to volunteer with other organizations like I did. And that really allows you to get to know what's going on within the city, reach out a bit further out. So I think voluntary work is always a very good way of starting. And that's how you get to know some of the dignitaries as well. I think we underestimate the work that our dignitaries within Manchester do. People think that they're just a title, but they're really not. They do an awful lot of work, and they put a lot of hours in to make Manchester, or make different cities, different dignitaries within different cities, what it is today. And it connects, you know, we're all connected, we're all interdependent. So I think, I think it's all linking with the networks. And that's, again, that's how you become networked to different people. Networking is essential within community work. And, you know, for me, developing the citizens towards integrating the various strata in society, as I said.
Thank you for sharing them. They're all great tips. And I think volunteering in any form is always, it's good for the soul, it's good for the community. And of course, it helps the cause. So always encourage that. It's an opportunity now for you to talk about anything that I didn't ask you before I go into my signature questions.
I did have a few things that I wanted to say.
Please.
And talk about. I think, again, one of my passions is to try to change the way that religion is viewed, if you like. As a Hindu myself, every time I go to a temple, I don't go to the temple that often because I just feel like there's quite a lot of politics. And, you know, trying to change the mindset of people thinking that women should be equally as accepted as men, but it's never the case when you go into temples. It just isn't. If you go and see who's on the board of trustees, for example, it's always male-led. You might get one female in there. But also the priests are it's a very, very patriarchal society. And my spirituality comes from yoga. I'm passionate about yoga. I'm a yoga teacher. I've been teaching over 10 years. And that's where I learnt about my own scriptures through yoga. So I think it's important that we know that being a Hindu, you don't necessarily have to go to a temple. You know, it can be, that's the beauty of being a Hindu. You can kind of worship in different ways. So I think that that's important. And I think we all need to work together to try to acknowledge female priests, because we can have female priests, but it's very challenging to get them out there. But that's one of my passions, as well as lots of other things that are going on within Manchester. I'm sure I'll think about a few others after. And I thought, oh, I'm going to say, oh, I wish I mentioned that, and I wish I mentioned the other thing. But I'm working with a very beautiful, two beautiful people. One is Rabbi Ash Wustein, who, if you haven't already interviewed, it's worth interviewing her. She's amazing. And she's our first rabbi in Manchester, first female rabbi in Manchester. And I was almost in tears when I went to her inauguration when she was being ordained there. And because on the platform, you had the senior rabbis giving her advice and giving her encouragement and saying, you're going to be brilliant at this. Take this. This is your synagogue now. It was amazing. And I just thought, wouldn't it be nice if our Hindu men could also empower the Hindu or Indian, Asian men could empower Asian women. But I think they also need to be taught how to do it. And I think that's again, very, very important to educate them, being aware of being able to empower their Asian women. So that was really good. And I also work with another lovely Reverend Grace Thomas. So the three of us, being Hindu, Christian and Jewish, we work together to try and change things within Manchester. And she's very passionate about what she does. She's really into the climate change. And we work in unison together. We have a lot of discussions, you can imagine, and different experiences that we've had working within the community.
Thank you for sharing that. And they sound like wonderful people like yourself.
Thank you.
I'm now going to move to the signature questions that I ask all my guests. Describe the Mancunian spirit in a word or a phrase.
That's a great question. Mancunian spirit. Well, I'll have to think of this one. Mancunian spirit. I think in a word or a phrase, I think it's being friendly. We are such friendly, passionate people that, you know, it allows us to do the work that we do, to collaborate and partnership with not just people of Manchester, but, you know, going wider. That's the first thing that comes to mind, is how friendly we are as Mancunians and how giving we can be.
Totally. I've experienced that myself through all the friendships and the introductions that I've been offered for my podcast. I've really enjoyed that.
And sorry, the other thing I just wanted to add to that is I studied and I lived in London for over 10 years. And I'd have to say that was one of my loneliest places I've ever been. And one of my friends said, oh, you must have made loads of friends, you know, because I'm so friendly. And I said, no, I've just got maybe one friend. And they said, that's impossible. I said, it's just so lonely out there. And, you know, you can just talk to people at a bus stop here and you not feel threatened and you feel safe. And then you become friends with them. So it's like, this is the most friendliest Northwest city I know.
Thank you for sharing that. I know big cities can be very isolating. And I think Manchester's got that charm because it's not quite a really big city, but it is, correct, you know, bigger than most. So it's got a very nice homey feel, I'd
say. At the moment, it's like that, but there are lots of buildings being put up. So it's getting quite close to London lifestyle.
Yeah. Can you share a Mancunian who inspires you and why? It can be a person in the past or somebody who's alive now.
I would say Dean Rogers really is very inspiring in the way he works with others and the way he partners with other communities and his ethos, his philosophy. Incredible, absolutely phenomenal the way, and I've learned a lot from him in working together rather than having your own views. It's all about working and collaborating and making friendships. And he's taught me a lot within the journey of community work.
Thank you for sharing that. And I think you're going to help me interview him for potentially this season or the next. So I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
What's the most important life lesson that you've learned so far?
Smile more and talk less.
That's a good one.
And I think life lesson is to, I think people are different, and it's really about listening to people rather than talking. We're all very good at talking, and I think if we listen more, then you know, this is often, it's also often what people don't say that you need to pick up on as well.
That is really powerful, because I think it's hard to be a good listener. We're always listening to answer rather than listening to just reflect and really give people a chance to frame their thoughts and share their views.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head there, reflection. I think within what I've learned also is within the Christian faith, reflection is a really, really big thing, whereas within the Hindu community or aspects, I've never been taught to reflect. And so I think reflection is a really, really big, a big ideology within, you know, when they have evening prayer and morning prayer, for example, there's always bouts of silence. They have a reading and then they'll be silent. And it's almost like you have to teach yourself what you're meant to do in that silence. I know you're meant to be reflecting on the passage, but how do you do that? How can you be self-critical of it? And I think reflection is a really big part of what we should be doing.
Very, very true. And again, a hard skill to develop, and the one that takes, because our minds are so busy, aren't they? Yeah. So they're always, there's a million things you could be thinking about, but just to take that moment and to be present and
to be present,
focus yourself, it is hard. If you could have one superpower, what would it be? Sorry if I'm asking you too many tough questions, but these are the Meet the Mancunian signature ones.
Superpower. Wow. You know, I think I was thinking about this the other day, but now it's gone. You know, you think about these things deeply, and then in the flash of a moment, it's kind of gone. Superpower. Wow.
You can go for something fun if you like.
Well, you know, I do a lot of yoga, and I think for me, yoga is my superpower anyway. It gives me a lot of energy. It gives me, that is my time for reflection, and it is magical. It's a magical lesson. Each time you practice, there's a lesson that comes out of it. So it's hard to describe just one superpower. I would take all of the superpowers within yoga, which is to be, it gives you strength, it gives you flexibility, it gives you clear thinking, and it gives you passion and drive to do the things that you're good at. And a superpower would be, all of that is to bring out the best in anybody. That is the superpower, because I think we're all extraordinary people, but we need to bring it out of ourselves, or it may be to just take one person to bring out that superpower within you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's a very unique one, and I like it very much. Good. And of course, yoga, you know, comes from back home, so that's also a nice little one.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Nidhi. This has been wonderful. I've really enjoyed our conversation today, and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been really lovely to meet you, and especially being an Asian female has been really empowering for me to see you doing this. And it's great that you're bringing, you know, this to the table of and helping the community see that. So thank you very much, Deepa.
Thanks. Nidhi, I really enjoyed learning about supporting integration today. Dear listener, thank you so much for listening to the 10th episode of the Meet the Mancunian podcast, season 4. I hope this episode and the podcast itself encourages you to follow your passions, inspired by the amazing Mancunian guests who feature here. Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode or log on to www.meetthemancunian.co.uk to listen to all the episodes and learn more about my podcasting story. Next week, on Tuesday, 31st January 2023, the Meet the Mancunian podcast talks to Alex Wistonley about disability awareness. Season 4 ends on Tuesday, 7th February 2023. I'll be taking a two-month break then for some travel and finishing up at my day job. Season 5 of the Meet the Mancunian podcast returns on Tuesday, 11th April 2023 with a new series of inspiring guests. I'm already recording for Season 5, so I think you'll enjoy it. Please do leave a review or a voice message on my website www.meetthemancunian.co.uk. It takes only a few minutes. I look forward to hearing from you. You can also follow the Meet the Mancunian podcast on Twitter as @MancunianPod or on Facebook and Instagram as Meet the Mancunian. Do give us a like or a share if you see us there. Thank you so much.